You're listening to Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw with your host, Bursa Goodness, and the show is underwritten by the worker owners at Firestorm Books and Cafe, 48 Commerce Street, here in Asheville, North Carolina. The Final Straw is also available at KXCF, Marshall, California. As an anarchist, the Spanish Civil War is a very inspiring moment in world history for me, because it's one of the few examples of people organizing on a mass level of in different strains of this utopic, and it's funny that we're playing it during dystopia, but this utopic movement and ideal. And just a quick introduction, I'm sure you've heard this before, just considering the show that I'm covering right now. Matthew is a political person, but anarchism is a political philosophy that probably in Europe as a modern philosophy and product to a degree of Rousseauian ideals about the managing of society relatively non-hierarchically was produced initially in the late 1800s. And the first self-declared anarchist writer was Babeuf during the French Revolution. During the next century, a few participants in the philosophy and espousers of the philosophy came along, a lot of libertarians, as they call them in Europe, or libertarian communists, libertarian socialists, developed the theories. But probably the big heyday for the beginnings of that as a modern philosophy came in the mid-1800s with three philosophers interacting. Sorry, I'm doing so much. This wasn't a prepared speech. Interacting in Europe, but to a good degree in Paris and London. And we had Mikhail Bakunin, who was a former Russian noble person who estranged himself from his family and started developing a strain of anarchism that became known basically as sort of like a federalism. The idea of workers organizing, the people who do the production organizing through federations with each other and taking over the means of production and creating an anarchic situation immediately. Anarchic deriving from anarchos in Greek, meaning without a head, as opposed to a monarchy, which is one head. which was the common state in those days throughout much of Europe. So the big split that happened between communists and anarchists occurred during the First International, when we could call Bakuninists or whatever, like the people who wanted a social revolution immediately that would attain the means of production for all people who do the production around the world. And those people became labeled anarchists by the other major side, who became called communists, or a lot of them became declared Marxists, but followers of Karl Marx. Around that same time, you had the development of sort of what I would say like a petty bourgeois anarchist philosophy under Proudhon, the French philosopher, although, which was basically creating communes that were a mixture of agrarian and industrial production, giving people like maybe 4-hour work days with a lot of leisure time and activity time where people can interact in these communes and create art. But his model very much espouses the ideals of the small business owner or the petty bourgeoisie of the time. And another current philosopher to that time period was Max Stirner, who published some criticisms, but he only actually published one work translated into English as The Ego and Its Own. And the strains of anarchism that come from him, as opposed to Bakunin, who's sort of considered to be the father of anarcho-syndicalism, as it is, like radical labor unions organizing and creating federations based on the means of production. Stirner was less of an organizational anarchist and more critical of more espousing the idea of developing the individual. And so from his philosophy, from The Ego on Its Own and some of his other criticisms, we get sort of like Nietzschean individualism and a lot of the later strains of anarchism that are more focused, like less on, more on like immediate attack, more on developing the individual, what Murray Bookchin would have called lifestyle anarchism, and less on the commune. So let me see, you've got those philosophers. You've got Bakunin and Proudhon and Stirner in the mid 1800s. Later on in the 1800s, a major philosopher that developed theories was Pyotr Kropotkin, who was a former prince in Russia, also who, being somewhat poisoned by the ideals that were espoused by Westerners, developed this philosophy. He had been in his free time, because he was such a rich person, he had been very well educated in language, in geography, in biology, and he developed these sort of critiques basing humanity's ability to interact in a non-hierarchical manner, meaning without the rule of government and without the power being held by private ownership of property, alongside of his studies of animal life and a lot of the same like contemporary writings to Darwin. And so from him, we get modern strains of communist anarchism or anarcho-communism. In the late 1800s, some Italian anarchists who are followers of Bakunin made their way over to Barcelona on the Mediterranean coast of Spain in the Catalan region, and started planting the seeds of revolutionary unionism, of radical federalism among the working population there, who already were fed up with rule from Castile, from Madrid. They still had in their memory the sense that they were, the Catalans at least, were a different nation that had its own history, had its own language and identity. And from there, it the idea spread to other regions, such as like Euskadi, the Basque region, and Andalusia. So, which, like, taking into mind that Spain only really formalized its centralization as one nation at the end of the Reconquista in 1492. So you still had, and you still have today, especially with the resurgence of linguistic and cultural identities in a lot of regions of Spain, this sense that this is not all that can be, and we need something that's a little less centralized. Another element, so you have like in Galicia, you have Gallego being spoken in Euskadi, the semi-autonomous region at the north that shares a border with France and the Pyrenees. You have Basco being spoken, which is a language not directly tied to any other European language, really. Maybe connected with Karelian or the Lap language in Finland that a lot of the reindeer herders have, or maybe connected potentially with Magyar that they speak in Hungary. So very ancient language, very ancient people. And you have Catalan in Catalonia, where Barcelona is. Anyway, blah. So you have, during this period of time, as a southern country in Europe and as a Catholic country, Spain, much like Portugal and Italy, suffers late from industrialization. And already during this time, from countries where industrialization has already hit and Western liberal ideas and even radical ideas had been developed, you have the importation of this new, like, light to the fuse, basically, of social class war between the landed property owners and the monarchy and the church versus the majority of people who tend to be pretty rural and pretty poor, often working the landowner's land for very little pay. You have the reactions of women to a highly patriarchal Catholic society, you have limitations on these newly educated workers in cities, in urbanized cities, who see the possibility of what could be and yet are suffering under the yoke of basically a slow to develop, like a slow to develop capitalism and modernization. And so they get all the bad parts of the modernization. They get all the pollution, all the death on the job, all the alienation of industrialized factory labor, along with the continued patriarchy and continued land ownership and huge class divide that's only propped up by the Catholic Church in that country. So there's a large amount of anti-church ideas, because it props up the monarchy. So that being said, around that time period, there were a number of revolutions in somewhat comparable situations around the world, where anarchism did flourish at least a bit. You had in Mexico, during the 19-teens, the Casas del Obrero Mundial. You had in Argentina a movement of anarchism that developed in, say, like 1904, with radical syndicalism and attempted assassinations. You had had in France the Attentat, the act, the deed by act, basically. So you had attempted assassinations, you had armed expropriations, you had radical labor unions also, and numerous other countries. By the time that 1933-34 rolls around, Europe is a changing place. In Italy, the fascists have come in the 1920s and are like former Mussolini, a former socialist and at one time self-described anarchist who published anarchist writings, is now using the church to sort of create this state where the whole infrastructure of the nation is stepped into line. All of the, it's this sort of synarchic use of labor divisions and of class dynamics, and reappropriating that instead of to be this class versus class struggle, with the working class either trying to take over the state or destroy the state as an apparatus of the owning class. Instead of allowing that to happen, they sort of try to turn that around and make it into a struggle against foreigners or outsiders, and have everyone nationally identify with the church as this uniting force within it all, and taking over capital and creating a sort of like state capitalism, all for the good of and benefit of the, you know, the Italian state. Germany had just, during the 1920s, during the Weimar Republic, and actually I think 1918 was the German Revolution that was failed. No, maybe it was 22. I'm bad with dates sometimes. But throughout Europe, there had been these attempts at revolution that were followed by great suppressions. And so the Spaniards of all stripes, or most stripes, found this to be a great opportunity. A great opportunity to create, during their Second Republic, which was a representative republic with a president and cabinet and everything, and they were ostensibly voted into office, a much more liberal, much more bourgeois structure that would be somewhat more transparent than the old system. They saw great things as possibilities, and labor struggles intensified. People began to expropriate lands and run businesses themselves collectively, not for profit, not for individual profit, but for community profit, and started believing these ideals of the industrialized age and of liberal philosophy, that we can make the world that we want to see. So in response, the conservative elements banded together under Franco, General Franco, who had been running the Moroccan, the Spanish colonial forces in Morocco. They invaded the country and had a call to arms, and the military basically had an uprising in support of Rey Carlos, King Carlos, and tried to reinstate him into office with eventually Franco at its head as the representative, but the king as the figurehead. And so the Spanish Civil War was this country stuck between a pulling on one side towards tradition, towards old ideas of the fatherland, and, you know, protection of values, family values, values of the church, versus people who wanted, people taking from more of a nihilist tradition, create a new world, a world where oppression was abolished, where everyone shared in the benefits, where people were freer, more educated. And so that's how the war began, basically. This is why, despite having a history degree, I did not actually become a teacher, because I can't explain stuff. So, but for me, the music that came out of this and the other versions that people have developed afterwards of those songs, they really strike a chord inside of me. And so I wanted to share. I was thinking, what can I do for a 2-hour set on The Invisible Worm? Although this is dystopia now. And I thought, well, all right, I've been saving these songs up. I'm going to put some order to them. It's going to be a mishmash of original recordings that I was lucky enough to find in Spanish and in English and in German, with modernizations of the songs. And so I will do my best to inform you of the significance of the tracks after the sets. I really hope you enjoy. Also, on the blog, I will list up some good historical references to the history of that period. But without further ado, let's start off with La Voz del Pueblo, Voice of the People, by Gracias a Dios, Thanks to God, off of a compilation called CNT-AIT. And CNT was the Confederación Nacional de Trabajadores. It was an anarcho-syndicalist union in Spain. And the, here we go. I hope you enjoy. Asheville FM, ashevillefm.org.
La brutal sublevación del ejército se estrella contra los pechos desnudos de las masas. Contenidos los militares cobardes, el pueblo, cogiendo las armas a su alcance, se desborda y generosamente ofrece su vida en defensa de un ideal, la libertad.
La revolución provocada por el fascismo llega a las mismas puertas de la cárcel y libra a los que gemían en sus celdas. Estos edificios que pertenecían antes a grandes entidades capitalistas, que tenían nombres pomposos con los que se disimulaba su verdadero significado, pertenecen ahora a las distintas organizaciones que representan al proletariado barcelonés. Sobre las ruinas de la burocracia se alza la labor febril de los sindicatos obreros. La CNT y la FAE, vanguardia de este vasto movimiento, junto con otros organismos sobre los representantes del poder oficial, organizan, encauzan y articulan la vida social, racionando la ciudad desde los mismos centros en que la alta burguesía y el capitalismo faccioso tramaban sus complots de miseria y de hambre contra el pueblo productor, contra el proletariado que ha roto definitivamente sus cadenas, precisamente cuando el fascismo pretendía añadirle unos eslabones más.
Yo me subí a un pino verde por ver Thank you.
Welcome back to Dystopia. This is Bursa Goodness, your host for this week. All right, so we started off with La Voz del Pueblo, which you could hear in the background, the hymn of the CNT, the CNT, A las Barricadas. After that, we heard El Tren Blindado, and like many of the songs that at this period of time were really important in any of the leftist struggles, most of the songs were based on traditional songs and sort of regrouped. So let's see. After that, we heard Hijo de Pueblo, was an old choral work. And that was a big anarchist song throughout Barcelona and throughout Catalonia. And I'm sure throughout the rest of the country during that time period, but just again, about like an end to oppression, throwing off the chains, rather being dead than being a slave, and serving the popular good of the commune. That last track was El Paso del Ebro, or El Ejército del Ebro, the Pass of Ebro, and that is a song about the Battle of Ebro, where basically the last stand of the Republican forces, the Allied Republican forces, before the war really turned against them in 1938 outside of Barcelona. And it's sort of a, you know, they say during it, you know, they fought with great valor, and the traitorous Moors under Franco attacked and killed many of us, but you can't bomb out our hearts, and we will continue fighting, we will continue struggling. And that's to the tune of Ay Carmela, which is a traditional Spanish song. Los Cuatro Generales is another track that we're going to hear later on that's also with that same tune. So, yeah. All right, so next up we're going to listen to A Galopar. Not sure of the artist. Again, that's one I'm going to update onto the playlist once I'm able to find it through my research. And then after that, A La Huelga. So anyway, here we are. Asheville FM, AshevilleFM.org.
las tierras, las tierras de España, las grandes, las olas desiertas de Anuda. Galopa caballo Cuatralbo, jinete del pueblo, que la tierra es tuya. A galopar, a galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar. A galopar, a galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar. A corazón suenan, suenan, resuenan las tierras de España en la cerradura. Galopa caballo Cuatralbo, jinete del pueblo, que la tierra es tuya. A galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar. A galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar. Nadie, nadie, nadie que enfrente, no hay nadie, que es nadie la muerte si va en tu montura. Galopa caballo Cuatralbo, jinete del pueblo, que la tierra es tuya. A galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar. A galopar, hasta enterrarnos en el mar.
Compañeros, no vayáis a trabajar, dejar quieta la herramienta, que es la hora de luchar. A la huelga 10, a la huelga 100, a la huelga madre yo voy también. A la huelga 100, a la huelga 1000, yo por ellos, madre, y ellos por mí. Contra el gobierno del hambre nos vamos a levantar. Todos los trabajadores, codo a codo por el pan. A la huelga 10, a la huelga 100, a la huelga madre yo voy también. A la huelga 100, a la huelga 1000, yo por ellos, madre, y ellos por mí. Desde el pozo y la besada, desde el torno y el telar, ya van los hombres del pueblo a la huelga general. A la huelga 10, a la huelga 100, a la huelga madre yo voy también. A la huelga 100, a la huelga 1000, yo por ellos, madre, y ellos por mí. Todos los pueblos del mundo la mano nos van a dar para devolver a España su perdida libertad. A la huelga 10, a la huelga 100, a la huelga madre yo voy también. A la huelga 100, a la huelga 1000, yo por ellos, madre, y ellos por mí.
Oh,
Welcome back. I'm just going to go through that quick set. In there, we heard Agalopar. We heard after that A la Huelga, like to the strike, talking about the united workers of the world eventually rising up against the capitalists. We heard Los Cuatro Muleros. Los Cuatro Muleros. A song about mule drivers as sort of a metaphor for the generals of the nationalist forces. And that last one, it's going to take me a minute to pronounce this, but Somos los Soldados Vascos is a translation, but Usko Gidariak. And that was a term or a Basque song of resistance. Let's see. Where the Basque combatants to liberate Euskadi. Generous is the blood that we have given for her. I know that you can hear the call. Yeah, okay. So, vamos Gudarias todos detrás la Ikumiña. Anyway, I don't know Basque, but if I did, I would say that was a damn good song. And a pretty cool recording, like very martial, martial in style, much like that El Paso del Ebro that was played earlier. Next up is Ya Sabes Mi Paradero, and it's a song about fighting on the front and sacrificing for during the war. Basically, one of the best lines in it, I think, is is when the singer is talking about, like, if you want to write me, you know where you can find me. I'll be on the front lines. And anyway, so I hope you enjoy Asheville FM, ashevillefm.org.
Mientras que los milicianos los moros, mientras que los milicianos los moros pasarán. Si me quieres escribir, ya sabes mi paradero. Si me quieres escribir, ya sabes mi paradero. Desde la brigada mienta primera línea de fuego, desde la brigada mixta primera línea de fuego.
So a little more specifically on that song, sorry, I had to review the lyrics. But los moros que trajo Franco en Madrid quieren entrar, mientras queden milicianos, los moros no pasarán. So the song being sort of another along the lines of El Paso del Ebro, saying, you know, talking about the Moroccan troops who were sort of acting as mercenaries, but also elements of the colonial army of Spain in Morocco, carrying Franco back to Spain and attempting to remove the milicianos from Madrid. And this is in reference to the Battle of Madrid, where the famous statement that La Pasionara made before the battle, the no pasarán, that they will not pass, they will not enter, which in case, like, actually turned out not to be true. But, you know, a big no pasarán is a huge battle cry in the left, particularly in the Latin American or Spanish-speaking world. And so the author of that song, or the subject of that song, was a member of the 3rd Brigade. Yes. And they reference Ebro at the end. En el Ebro se han hundido las banderas italianas. En los puentes solo quedan las que son republicanas. So in the place of the Italian flags, referencing the unified forces during the Spanish Civil War of the Italian fascists, the German Nazis, and Franco. Saying we will stand in the face of this. We have our own international brigades. So during this war, the Spanish Republic battled within itself about whether to radicalize fully or allow itself to radicalize or to stay somewhat liberal. And the anarchist and radical Marxist and socialist elements within the country, for the most part, were constantly pushing the boundaries, of class warfare and reappropriating properties, assassinating fascists. And this was considered at the time much too dangerous of a thing for any of the Western liberal countries to get involved in. Having seen the rise of Nazi Germany in the face of the Weimar Republic, and having seen the rise of fascist Italy with all their combined colonial powers, European countries generally tended not to want to get involved in this, and tended to try to block their own citizens from getting involved because they didn't want, they were unaligned in the struggle. So the only country that really came to, quote unquote, an aid, like the aid of Spain during the war, was the Soviet Union. Having experienced a revolution under the Bolshevik Party, well, not just under the Bolshevik Party, the Mensheviks, the anarchists, the social revolutionaries, but being that being taken over and pushed through to its end, whatever end that was, by the Bolshevik Party under Lenin and Trotsky, the Soviet Union at this point was being ruled by Stalin, and Stalin had a perspective of wanting not to allow for the radicalization of countries in the West. And some would argue because Stalin wanted them to take their own approach in their own time, but more likely it's because Stalin didn't want to be blamed and alienate Western countries from the Comintern, because he found himself, although allied at one point with the Nazis and having a peace pact with the Nazis of no invading one way or the other, as the Germans rolled through parts of Europe before the Germans broke the treaty and attacked Russia on its eastern front, or on Germany's eastern front. So the Soviets and the Comintern did their best through, when they eventually did grasp hold of the leadership of the Republican government and had purged out all of the non-orthodox Stalinist elements within the resistance in the Spanish Republic. So the PUM, who were called Trotskyists at the time, but the party of the United Workers Party movement, or Party of the United Workers Movement, I guess. And after they had suppressed the CNT and the FAI, the Federación Ibérico Anarquista, the Iberian Anarchist Federation, and other elements of the left that were not members of the Comintern, the Communist International that was run by the Stalinist Soviet or Communist Party, they did their best to suppress the radicalization of Spain during this time period. But again, like I said, at the same time, you had, they were sending soldiers, they were sending aid, they were sending kind of crappy weapons to the Spanish resistance, while also strangling the Spanish resistance and all of its elements and all of its diversity within it. At the same time, you had Franco relying on aid from reactionary forces from throughout Europe, particularly Spain and Italy, Italy and Germany, who provided weapons, who provided planes and tanks, who provided military training and even soldiers in instances. And at the same time as all this was going on, and you had the suppression of what was basically a social democratic society being developed, although with the danger of communization, England, the United States, France, these countries that could have done something in this mini theater that was, again, to eventually be reproduced on a larger scale when World War II officially broke out as a larger struggle. Well, to Americanize, I guess it had already occurred in that instance in Europe. But this would have been the stopping point for the unified forces of fascism. But so, in the face of that, people with in mind solidarity, people who were strong of spirit and of heart and of ideas, found their way to Spain. People from around the world, people from China, from Africa, from all over Asia, from Latin America. There are numerous famous people who came from America, the United States, like Paul Robeson served in the international brigades, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. You had, Alexander Berkman and Emma Goldman, both not serving in the military there, but doing propaganda work for the Spanish Republic as much as they could and touring around and talking to the radical feminist militias that existed, or, working alongside of people in their wartime, having been disillusioned with the product of the Soviet Revolution. So, back to the music. I'm done ranting for the moment. Next up, we're going to hear another version of Ay Carmela off of an album called Viva la Quinta Brigada. And, that's just another variant on this version of that song. So, and then after that, we're going to hear three tracks from Corrale Durruti off of their album Canciones Anarquistas. They are the best source I've found for some of these really traditional Spanish anarchist and other anarchists, but Spanish anarchist songs, beautifully done. So I hope you enjoy. And this is Dystopia with your guest host, Bursa Goodness, Asheville FM, ashevillefm.org. Actually, since we've been talking about, since I mentioned the International Brigade, I'd like to play a few tracks in English, referencing the experiences of English speakers in the International Brigades. The second song... I'll mention that afterwards. But first off, we're going to hear Quartermaster Song, followed by Cookhouse and a couple of other tracks that I'll explain at the end. Enjoy. Pie in the Sky. That's what the song is based on. Enjoy.
There is cheese that brings you to your knees
in the store, in the store. There is cheese that brings you to your knees in the Quartermaster store.
There is tea, but not for you and me
in the store, in the store. There is tea, but not for you and me in the Quartermaster store.
Rats in bowler hats and spats
in the store, in the store. There are rats in bowler hats and spats in the Quartermaster store.
There are beans that make you fill your jeans
in the store, in the store. There are beans that make you fill your jeans in the Quartermaster store.
There's a chief who never brings a thief
in the store, in the store.
There's a chief who never brings a thief
in the Quartermaster store.
sweet locales not far away, where we get sweet demo three times a day. Ham and eggs we never see, demo sugar in our tea, and we are gradually fading away. Old soldiers never die, never die, never die. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away.
A Spaniard who hailed from Alcala, when angered would shout mucho mala. He tossed a grenade at a Moorish brigade and blew all those fascists to Allah.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
Oh, the Lincoln Battalion by Cracky, a bunch of brave bozos, the wacky. They held down the line for months at a time against Franco, Il Duce's lackey.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
Was there on the plains of Brunetti, midst a hail of steel confetti. With our planes and air bombs we would smash Franco's ranks of sick on Italian spaghetti.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Oh, the Lincoln boys fought at Jarama. They made the fascisti cry mama. They were holding the line for months at a time, and for sport they would play with Obama.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
A codger from old Albacete took on the 16 goats on a betta. When asked how he felt, he just hitched up his belt and said, I can't tell, just as yet.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
You're listening to Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw with your host, Bursa Goodness, and the show is underwritten by the worker owners at Firestorm Books and Cafe, 48 Commerce Street, here in Asheville, North Carolina. The Final Straw is also available at KXCF, Marshall, California. You're listening to Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw with your host, Bursa Goodness, and the show is underwritten by the worker owners at Firestorm Books and Cafe, 48 Commerce Street, here in Asheville, North Carolina. The Final Straw is also available at KXCF, Marshall, California.
There's a valley in Spain called Jarama. A place that we all know so well. It was there that we gave of our manhood, where so many of our brave comrades fell.